नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तत्र चाक्वच्चेद् आत्थबोधका निबन् विषयान् उपधावति पानभोजन् व्यनायादि व्यासना लोलुपः तत्र गन्धर्वपुर The conditioned soul drinks, eats, and has sex. Being overly attached, he chases after the objects of the senses just as a deer chases a mirage in the desert. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are two worlds, the spiritual and the material. The material world is false like a mirage in the desert. In the desert, animals think they see water, but actually there is none. Similarly, those who are animalistic try to find peace within the desert of material life. It is repeatedly said in different shastras that there is no pleasure in this material world. Furthermore, even if we agree to live without pleasure, we are not allowed to do so. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that the material world is not only full of miseries, dukkhalayam, but also temporarity, ashashvatam. Even if we want to live here amid miseries, material nature will not allow us to do so. It will oblige us to change bodies and enter another atmosphere full of miserable conditions. Sometimes in this house in the sky, Gandharvapur, the conditioned soul drinks, eats, and has sex. Being overly attached, he chases after the objects of the senses, just as a deer chases a mirage in the desert. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, The Forest of Enjoyment, Test Number 6. Sukadeva Goswami herein is quite openly disclosing the nature of life within the material world. Like a forest. Today's example is very appropriate. The animal in the forest sees what appears to be water, but in truth is nothing but hot, dry sand. But due to the illusory nature of this world, things appear to be what they are not. In fact, this is the meaning of Maya, that which is not. Factually, water does exist. Sand also exists. Why is it that the deer, foolish deer, is so much chasing after this mirage? Because the fact is, there is water. But he is mistaking one thing for another. And that is the cause of all suffering. The Mayavadis declare that the entire universe is false. The Vaishnavas, having a more complete understanding, have taught us that it is not false, it is temporary. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Every living being is looking for happiness, unlimited happiness, unending happiness. Why? Because that is our nature. Because that is reality. The Prabhupada explains that one who is animalistic looks in the wrong place for that happiness. That reservoir of water that we are seeking will never be found in the desert of material existence. There is only reflections of that, but it is not true. The substance of everything within this world is temporary, therefore it cannot satisfy the soul. It is all sand, however it may appear. Srila Prabhupada explains that the nature of this world is not only can you not really enjoy, but you cannot even continue to suffer. Such a place. Even if you want to stay here and be in misery, you can't. You're going to be kicked out of your situation. It is a reality. Sometimes people are in miserable conditions, but still they want to hold on to their life. They don't mind suffering as long as they could live. But you're not even allowed to suffer according to your expectation. You have to take another birth, lose everything you have, and then suffer in a different way altogether. Puna punas charvata charvananam. Therefore, the great personality, Prahlad Maharaj, he so openly and so blatantly explained the whole search for happiness, which is the basis of all of our civilizations. It is simply chewing that which has already been chewed. We've had it. We've spit it out. And everybody around us has been spitting it out, and we just keep picking it up again and again and again to try to extract some more juice from it. Sand will never quench your thirst. Sand is hot. It is dry. It will cause you, whatever thirst is there, will only be increased horribly if you eat sand. Krishna tells us that what appears like water in this world is nothing but hot sand. Don't take seriously the illusory appearances of Maya. It will make you suffer. And worse than make you suffer, it will bind us, entangle us in such a network of attachment
that we just cannot get out.
But Krishna tells us in Gita, Vishayavanivartante niraharasya dehina rasabharajamrasopyasya param drisva nivartate. It is very difficult to overcome the temptations of Maya. It is only sustainable when we experience a higher taste. Yatato hyapikonteya purushasya vipaschate indriyani pramatini haranti prasabham mana. That the senses are so strong and so impetuous that they can forcibly carry away the mind even of a man of discrimination who is endeavoring to control them. However, if we experience that higher taste, if we drink the real water, the water of the love of Krishna, then we can see the mirages of this world for what they are. And we will not be attracted to that. Only a person who has no awareness of the real water takes that which is not to be real. And simply performing severe austerities of saying, no, no, this is sand, I will not eat. Neti, 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 no, not this, not this, not this, this is sand, I know it's sand, the scriptures say it's sand, the saints say it's sand, I will not eat, I will not eat. But if your thirst is burning, how long could you carry on like this? Before, because it looks just like water. Looks are deceiving. It looks just like water. But on the basis of the scripture, on the basis of the words of the saints, it's sand, it's sand. I know it's sand. I'm not going to touch it. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told Lord Chaitanya, you are so young, 24 years old. You have taken sannyas, very difficult. The illusions of Maya, very strong. Unless you scrutinizingly understand the Vedanta philosophy, you will not survive. You have to be able to discriminate with your intelligence, vivek, that no, this is not true. Brahman is true. Jagat mitya. This universe is false. It is an illusion. It's not water. It's sand. But if we don't taste real water, then it's just a matter of time. So we will be overcome. That is what Krishna is saying. But when we experience the higher taste of loving devotional service to Krishna, the mercy of Krishna, the form of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the holy name of Krishna, it is nectar. It is not just water, it is nectar. Unlimited reservoir of nectar. We call Krishna by the name Rama, which means the reservoir of all pleasure. When we taste Krishna, we taste unlimited happiness because he is an unlimited reservoir of nectar. And even a drop, even a tiny particle of a drop from that vast ocean can completely drown our consciousness forever with ecstatic bliss. That is Krishna's power. Krishna descends to this world to distribute the nectar of his own loving service and also comes with his devotees and through his devotees teach us
the value of the great nectar of Krishna consciousness.
Today is one of the most holy days, Ananta Chaturdasi. This is the day when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified for all the world, for all time to come, that greatest Acharya, Srila Haridas Thakur. It is such a deep and elaborate subject. Today we will simply try to take a particle of a drop from the ocean of the qualities of Haridas Thakur and discuss them. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the highest wealth to those who had no qualifications at all. Therefore, he is Patita Pavana Avatar. He is deliverer of the most fallen. Namo Maha Badanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gaura Tveshe Namaha. Rupa Goswami understood and revealed to the world that this incarnation of Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful and magnanimous. Although he is Krishna himself, he is extending his kindness beyond Krishna, beyond any other avatar, because he is giving the highest realization of Krishna prema to everyone and anyone without consideration of qualification or disqualification. He's pleading and begging, just accept it. Paramakaruna Pahundui Jana Nitai Gora Chandra Tava Avatara Sara Siromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are the essence of all avatars. They are giving such a joyful process, chanting, dancing, feasting in the association of wonderful people. It's a process millions of times more potent than secluded meditation in the jungles of the Himalayas. That process may take many, many births to achieve the desired goal. But Krishna has appeared within his name, Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar, with all of his potencies. And Krishna tells Narada, wherever my devotees are gathered together, chanting my holy names with sincerity, I am present there with my full potencies. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended with his associates to teach us what really is of value and who can achieve it. The Yuga Dharma is the chanting of the holy names. Brihadnaradiya Purana declares Haranam, Haranam, Haranam Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gathir Anyatha. That in this age of Kali, it is only the name of Hari that can bring us to the highest perfection. There's no other way. This is not the propaganda of the Hare Krishna movement. This is the word of God. This is revealed in the scriptures many thousands and thousands of years ago. Kaler dosani de rajan asti heka mahanguna kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha param vraje. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, but there is a benediction, one benediction. Simply taking the name of Krishna, one can attain the supreme perfection of liberation. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All victory, all glories to the prime benediction to all humanity, the chanting of the names of Krishna. Kali Santarana Upanishad declares that in this age of Kali, there is no more powerful and effective message than chanting this 16-word, 32-syllable mantra, which is called the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
It is the Yuga Dharma, chanting Hare Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya is Yuga Avatar, revealing the way of perfection in this age. And of all the people, all the great personalities, the Lord personally selected as the Nam Acharya, the person to teach the whole world for all time to come, the way of perfection. He chose Thakur Haridas, who happened to be born in what, according to the Hindu society, which was very strict at that time, 500 years ago, he was born in an untouchable family. How did this come about? This is a great lesson. Because Lord Chaitanya teaches, Trinadapi Sumichena, Taror Iva Sihishnana, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniya, Sadahari. That one should be more humble than a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Only then will we taste the nectar of the holy name and chant constantly. The greatest personality in the universe is Lord Brahma. He has the highest position. All other living entities, including the demigods themselves, they hardly can survive a few hours of Lord Brahma's life before they're dead and gone. They lose their karmas. They lose all their, lose their life. They lose their possessions. Yes, Brahma is so powerful. He's the first living being in the creation, and he's the last living being in creation. Yes, first and last, and all the way through. When he goes to sleep, everyone else is finished. That is Lord Brahma. He's also the Adi Guru. He's the original spiritual master of the universe. Before any living being was even created, he was directly and personally instructed in the science of perfection by Lord Narayana. What is his position? No more respectable person within creation than Brahma. In fact, he's the only person that people like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana respected. Yes? Brahma and Shiva. Hiranyakashipu was the personification of arrogance. What is arrogance? Arrogance means, I am great, you are small. To be very proud of who we are. But yet we read in Srimad Bhagavatam that he's with folded hands and even tears in his eyes, Hiranyakashipu is bowing down in full prostration and offering prayers to Lord Brahma, calling him the Supreme Person. In his own duplicitous way, Hiranyakashipu was surrendering to Lord Brahma. He wouldn't even wouldn't surrender to Vishnu, wouldn't surrender to anyone. He wanted to be master. And he attacked the abodes of the demigods, but he never dared to go near the abode of Brahma. Such an exalted position. In Krishna's Leela, Lord Brahma wanted to test who is his little child, Gopal, who has so incredibly subdued the Asura Aga. By his mystic powers, he stole the gopas and the calves just to show his own greatness. But then Krishna performed such a leela of manifesting himself as all those calves and all those gopas. Lord Brahma, when he came back after a year to saw the trouble he had done, he was bewildered. Krishna bewildered him to such an extent that he was speechless. He forgot his own existence. That is the power of the Lord. And Lord Brahma offered beautiful prayers, surrendering his life to Krishna. What is the nature of my greatness? In the darkness, a firefly thinks that he is lighting up the universe. But in the presence of the sun, the firefly realizes, I am insignificant. It is a fact for any of us. To the degree we think we're great, it is only possible to the degree we are forgetful of God. If you're in remembrance of the Lord, if you're actually feeling the presence of the Lord, you can never feel yourself great. There cannot be false ego. Therefore, we see if somebody is bragging how good I am, how great I am, what I have done, what I will do, just watch, just see, who am I? We can understand, even if a person is thinking they're great on spiritual topics, to that degree we know that that person really is not experiencing Krishna. Because if you experience Krishna, Krishna's greatness, Krishna's beauty, Krishna's opulences, then we'll feel ourselves insignificant. Now, how is it possible that this is happiness, feeling oneself insignificant? Yes, if you went to a psychologist and said, please tell me your condition, and he says, I am simply insignificant, they would think you have some sort of inferiority complex and probably give you some drugs and other types of therapy. And they're right, unless the reason you're thinking you're insignificant is because you're tasting the sweet nectar of the ecstasy of seeing the opulence of Krishna. And you're finding your pleasure in Krishna's greatness. Then the more insignificant you feel, the more you taste spiritual bliss. That is Krishna consciousness. We don't want to be God. We want to be the insignificant servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Because as Rupa Goswami explains, the taste and the sweetness of being the servant of the servant in devotional service is like an ocean. And the happiness of realizing your oneness with Brahman is not even a drop in comparison. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prasantatma kotishvapi mahamune. Out of many persons who have attained this Brahman realization of mukti, of many yogis who have attained the perfections of mystic siddhis, very difficult
rare to find Narayana Parayana, a pure devotee of Lord Narayana. Because that person is the only one who can find real peace, real happiness. Because we have experienced our constitutional eternal nature. We are diving deep into the ocean of the reservoir of pleasure. So Lord Brahma, it was his duty to be Brahma. It was his service to the Lord. But he didn't like the position. What he was longing for and praying for is to take birth on the earth planet. Not Brahma Loka, but this condemnable earth planet. In an untouchable situation where there would be no prestige, no pride, no adoration whatsoever. Because in this state, he felt, I could chant your holy names constantly, without disturbance. So people in this world, they are praying and struggling like anything to be tiny little insignificant imitations of Brahmas, being controllers, being proprietors. But Brahma, he has it all, but he wants just the opposite. He prayed to the Lord, begging, let me be in a situation where there's no pride, no prestige, where I could worship you with real humility. And the Lord gave him the benediction, yes, I will appear in my most magnanimous form as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For what purpose? Externally, I will be promoting the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of the holy names. But internally, I will be tasting the sweetness of Radha's love. And you will be my devotee. You will be Brahma Haridas Thakur. You will be constantly chanting the holy names. And as per your desire, you will be born in a family of untouchables, which is condemned by the whole society of Vedic culture, as per the people of that time. And when you depart from this world, I will personally have your body in my arms. So to fulfill this promise, the Lord arranged for Lord Brahma to be born in Bangladesh, in a very small village called Bhutan, to a family of Malechas and Yavanas. But from his early childhood, he developed a deep affinity for worshipping Krishna and chanting Krishna's names. Now, this was very difficult because being a Malecha Yavana family and their family hated Hindus. The family considered Krishna a false god. And here is their son worshipping Krishna, taking the name of Krishna. He was not at all popular amongst his old people. He was considered a reject, heresy, pagan, infidel. Hare Krishna. So who did he have to turn to? His own family, his own community. They considered him, Ma, you are following the way of these worshippers of idols, worshipping false god, abominable, condemned. And the Hindus, they considered he's an untouchable. He's born in an outcast family. So who was there to glorify and honor or even tolerate Haridas Thakur?
he was condemned by everybody from his childhood. But he accepted this as a great benediction. There was no distraction from the chanting of the holy names. Queen Kunti prays, Janmaishwarya Shruti Shibir Edamana Madapuman Nai Barhatya Vadatumvai
Twam Akinchana Gocharam.
The greatest disqualifications for our spiritual progress are those things that materialistic people consider the greatest qualifications. A respectable birth, where you get prestige.
A lot of wealth. Physical beauty and high education.
Then Queen Kunti said, my dear Lord Krishna, you cannot be approached by people who are infatuated by such pride. You are the property of the impoverished. Impoverished doesn't mean physical poverty. It doesn't mean ignorance. Impoverished means within one's heart, we claim no proprietorship of anything. Akinchana Gotra means we're genuinely humble in our heart. Only that person could call out the name of God with feeling. So Thakur Haridas considered his social position a great benediction. And even despite every possible disadvantage, because he was so addicted to the chanting of the holy name, he was tasting Krishna so sweetly. And not only that, because one who loves Krishna is an instrument of Krishna's compassion in this world. He was so compassionate, so kind, so loving, so forgiving. He had all the most divine qualities that he became all attractive to so many people. Many people of his own race were chanting the names of Krishna, which was intolerable for their own religious leaders. And many Hindus were following him, which was very intolerable for the caste Brahmins. He was living in a little forest called Benapol, and he was becoming so popular. He didn't want popularity. He just wanted to serve, that's all. But sometimes when you don't want, Krishna gives it anyway. And if you become attached to it, there's trouble. But if you have no attachment, then Krishna may keep giving you more and more and more to be used in his service. You can really be an instrument of the Lord's mercy to the degree we have no attachments to our own egoistic considerations. That was Haridas. Ramchandra Khan, he was a landowner, was also very proud of his religious piety, and he could not tolerate. It was absolutely unacceptable that a Yavana, an untouchable outcast, was becoming prominent in teaching Ramchandra Khan's religion. People were giving more credit to Haridas than him. Impossible. This cannot be. He's from a high caste. He's educated. He's wealthy. He's learned in the scriptures. He performs his religious duties. How can a person of this despicable condition become more influential than me? So he decided Haridas Thakur must be destroyed. And what is the most effective way of destroying a person who is preaching the word of God? To destroy
their reputation.
Srila Prabhupada said, really, this is the only real wealth of a preacher, is his or her reputation. Because you can only effectively change people's hearts if they have faith in you. If people do not have faith in you, if they do not trust you, then even if you speak so much eloquent truth, who will listen? So reputation is so important. So he found the most beautiful and most proficient of all prostitutes in the whole countryside. And she assured Ramchandra Kam, give me 3 days. He said, I will send my guards and police with you. And as soon as Haridas comes together with you, we will arrest him. She said, no, let me go alone. Within 3 days, he will be yours. Hare Krishna. He was sitting in his little kutir in the solitude of a forest, worshipping Tulsi. All day and all night he would chant the holy names. Thakur Haridas would chant minimum 300,000 names every single day. Approximately 192 rounds. Strict regulative principle. So this prostitute came, and with all of her feminine prowess, she tried to somehow or other divert Haridas's attention. But he was so kind. She said, oh, Haridas, you are so young and you are so handsome and I am so beautiful. I long to unite with you. We are all alone in this forest by the arrangement of destiny. Let us come together. Now, Haridas could have run away. Ah, Maya, Maya, get out of... Arista could have started throwing rocks and sticks at her and, get out, you witch! But what did Haridas do? Very respectfully, he said, oh, yes, I will fulfill your desires. But I cannot do anything until I finish my rounds. So just sit as I chant. So he chanted all night long. She came at sunset time. Sun was rising. He's still chanting. She bowed down and left. Actually, Haridas, before she left, he said, I'm sorry, I didn't finish my rounds. Come back tomorrow. I will fulfill your desires. 3 days. 3 days she sat there hearing Haridas chant. And in the meanwhile, his chanting was so pure, and his prayer while he was chanting to deliver this prostitute who was coming to destroy his life. If he did anything that she wanted him to do, he would have been beaten, he would have been imprisoned, he would have been tortured. That was her motive, that he be beaten, tortured, and his whole mission in life would be destroyed. That was her craving desire. Because she was going to get paid good for it. But Haridas, as he's chanting, he's praying to Krishna, change her heart, make her pure. And by the power of his prayer and by the power of the name that was emitting from his lips, inadvertently, she started chanting along with him. And at the end of the 3 days, Haridas said, 3 nights, yes? And she fell down, full prostration. I'm very sorry. I beg forgiveness. I came to destroy you. But now I realize what a saintly person you are. It is my wish to be your disciple, to take initiation, and to give up everything to serve you. Haridas said, I know that fool Ramchandra Kam sent you. In fact, I was going to leave when I heard about his unhappiness toward me.
But I stayed an extra 3 days only to deliver you.
Now you can give up, give away everything you have. Just wear a simple white sari, shave your head, come back here. I'm leaving. Worship, take care of my Tulsi Devi, and chant the holy names constantly. And do not worry about your sustenance. Krishna will provide. So she did. Haridas left. She surrendered to him. And then she became famous. The prostitute has become a pure saint because of Haridas Thakur. People were bringing her so much food and so much dakshina and coming to hear from her. She became very great. Thus, the glories of Haridas Thakur only increased. And Ramchandra Khan, in due course of time, received his reaction as well. So he left and he went to Chandpur in Saptagram. And there he met with Yadunandan Acharya and Balaram Acharya. They arranged a nice conference where they invited many respectable people, Brahmins, scholars, saints, to hear Haridas Thakur's glorification of the power of the chanting of the holy names. And he glorified the holy names according to the Shastras. He was actually a learned scholar. And he explained that an insignificant byproduct of chanting Hare Krishna is mukti. But the real goal is prem, pure love. So there was an impersonal philosopher there, Gopal Chakravarti. Very young, very beautiful, very handsome. It describes that his nose and his fingers were like champak flowers. And he was Brahman. Ah, what nonsense. This Malecha, this Yavana, this outcast is telling us what is the goal of life? And he's blaspheming mukti? He's blaspheming the ultimate perfection of mukti, saying it's an insignificant byproduct of bhakti? Bogus. He stood up in great anger. He said, if what you are saying is not true, then let your nose fall off. Yadunandan, Balaramacharya were outraged. He was working for them. They immediately fired him. Immediate reaction. Haridas said, no, no, do not be disturbed. They were begging apologies. We invited you to our place and you're being blasphemed, you're being criticized. Haridas said, no, no, forgive him. It's not, don't take his words seriously. Haridas Thakur forgave him. Haridas Thakur was very gentle and kind to everyone. A devotee can tolerate any type of offense, but there's a problem. Krishna does not tolerate. He will not tolerate offenses to his devotees. This is an eternal truth. Gopal Chakravarti, within days, contracted leprosy. And his champak beauty of nose and fingers melted away. And Haridas Thakur felt very sad. He was praying for his deliverance. From Chandpur, he went to Shantipur. And there he met with Sri Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya, who is the avatar of Sadashiva, Mahavishnu, he was living on the banks of the river Ganges. He was the leader, the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. Now we are talking, in a chronological sense, many years before Lord Chaitanya even descended from this into this world. Thakur Haridas was welcomed with so much love by Advaitacharya. Advaita was considered the most reputed leader of the entire Brahman community. And he understood in his heart there is no greater wealth than the association of a Vaishnav. Nothing more precious. The Srimad Bhagavatam declares that there's nothing so valuable as the association of devotees. Elevation to the heavenly planets, liberation, all of these things are insignificant. They do not even compare to a drop in comparison to the ocean of the good fortune of even a moment's association with a devotee. Lord Chaitanya was asked, who is a Vaishnav? He said, a Vaishnav is that person who one time chants the holy name. Then the next time he was asked, who is a Vaishnav? He said, the best Vaishnav is that person who constantly chants the holy names. And then he went on in his next explanation to say, the best of the best, the supreme most of Vaishnavas, is that person who not only chants the name constantly, but by his compassionate love, anyone who sees that person chants the holy names. That was Haridas Thakur. Advaitacharya just found the greatest shelter in Thakur Haridas's association and Haridas Thakur in Advaitacharya's association. From a social point of view, this was something that was impossible. The leader of the Vaishnavas becoming the very intimate best friend of an untouchable from another religion, another race, an outcast. Hare Krishna. But Advaitacharya cared nothing for this. In fact, when it came time for the Shraddha Patra, the Shraddha ceremony, when Advaita Prabhu does, the best Brahmins, the best pundits, they all came assembled, and he shocked everyone. Very, very strong statement Advaita made. Here are the most respectable caste Brahmins assembled. And he gave the Shraddha Patra the highest respect, the first remnants of Vishnu's prasad in front of everybody to Haridas Thakur. This was a revolutionary, bold statement to society. Because Krishna and the persons who actually understand proper knowledge do not judge a person by temporary, superficial designations, but judge a person by substance. Aho bata swapacho togariyam yaj jivagre vartate namatupyam te pas tapastu juhuvushashnuarya brahmanuchur namagranandi yete. Alas, see the glories of the holy names. Even a person who was born in the lowest family of chandalas is worshipable, honorable, if he's chanting the holy names of the Lord. Such a person is said to have already gone to all the holy places of pilgrimage, is already performed all the various religious ceremonies and sacrifices. Such a person has the power to deliver the entire world. But even if one is born in a Brahmin family and follows all of his religious duties very carefully and has all the 25 qualifications of a Brahmin, if a person is not sincerely taking shelter of the holy name as Krishna's devotee, he cannot even deliver himself, what to speak of anyone else. That is the word of the scripture.
Lord Ram, he made his most intimate famous devotee, Hanuman. He wasn't even human by caste. He was monkey by caste. And amongst animals, monkeys are considered in the mode of ignorance. Hare Krishna. Yes, the Supreme Lord, when he wants to make a statement, he makes that statement very strong and clear. But the amazing thing in this age of Kali, still, the vast majority of population cannot understand. Advaitacharya arranged for Haridas Thakur a very nice place where he could chant and be peaceful. Advaitacharya personally arranged a cave for him on the banks of the Ganges River in a village of the name Phuliagram. And so many wonderful stories took place there. Would you like to hear? If you wait 45 seconds, I will be back to tell you. We could have kirtan till I return. Secret mission. While he was living in this cave, so many respectable people were coming to get teachings from him. But they were suffocating in his cave. Their skin was burning. They were getting nauseous. They were suffering. So they asked a person who knew the science of such symptoms, why, when we go into Haridas Thakur's cave, we suffer so much? He said, because there is a very dangerous, venomous serpent living in that cave. And just the vapors of his breath is poisoning you and burning your skin and making you diseased. Haridas was there all day, every day. So they went to Thakur Haridas and they said, Haridas, there is a snake here in your cave somewhere. And please, this is not a healthy place for you. And beside that, we cannot tolerate coming here to visit you. So please, shift to another place. Haridas Thakur said, I didn't even notice there was anything like that. He said, but if it pleases you, I will shift to another place. Just at this moment, this gigantic, multicolored, venomous snake came out of a hole in the cave and just slithered right past Haridas Thakur and everyone else out of the cave, never to return. Krishna, in the heart of that serpent, did not want to inconvenience Haridas Thakur, so he sent him away forever. But that was Thakur Haridas's absorption in chanting. We're distracted by a mosquito. Yes? But Haridas, even living practically 24 hours a day in such a situation, in a little closed cave with no cross ventilation, didn't even notice that there was any problem. He was immersed in absorption, in chanting the Mahamantra. Another time in Phulia, there was a snake charmer who used to dance in the... He would become immersed in the mood of the king of the snakes, and he would dance and he would sing.
So one day he was chanting, and Haridas happened to be walking by. And this person was singing about Krishna and how Krishna delivered Kaliya, the snake. And when Haridas Thakur heard that story about Krishna delivering Kaliya, he went into a trance of ecstasy. He forgot the world around him. He forgot his body. He forgot everything. He just started dancing with ecstatic symptoms blossoming all over his body.
And the snake charmer man, oh, he was so impressed, he stood with folded hands. And all the people around were thinking, look at this Thakur Haridas, he's in ecstatic love. They were honoring him and respecting him. But there was one caste Brahmin who happened to be watching. He considered this whole series of events to be despicable. Look at these ignorant, foolish people. They're honoring and giving respect and standing with great reverence to watch an outcast, untouchable reject of society dancing. Look at all the respect he's getting. They'll make real advancement if they offer that respect to a Brahmin. And what adoration I will get.
So Haridas left after he danced for some time. And this person, he studied Haridas's dance. He studied the symptoms that were being exhibited. And he very expertly imitated him. He started rolling on the ground and dancing, and he started crying. And immediately, that snake charmer picked up a stick and beat him severely again and again and again. He beat him every limb of his body. He was in so much pain. He was screaming. He was howling. Finally, just got up and ran away.
Then the snake charmer became calm. And the people were really confused. They said, well, what happened? When Haridas did like that, you were worshiping him with folded palms. And when a Brahmin did it, you beat him severely. Why you did like that? And he said that he was a pretender. He was envious. He was envious of Haridas Thakur. He could not tolerate Haridas Thakur getting the glory that he deserved. He wanted that glory for himself. Therefore, Haridas Thakur is a pure devotee of Krishna. His heart is absolutely pure. He loves Krishna. He's merciful to all living beings. He's compassionate to everyone. He has not even a drop of false pride in his heart. When he chants the holy names of the Lord, he purifies the whole world. But this man is simply an egoistic, envious person, trying to degrade Haridas and take glory for himself. He said, it wasn't me that beat him. He said, it was some divine power within me that moved my body to beat him severely to teach him a good lesson. That hypocrite, that cheater. Hare Krishna. In this way, he started glorifying Haridas Thakur in such a way that everyone could understand the greatness of this saint.
On another occasion in Fuliagram,
Maya Devi, the full-fledged illusory potency of the Lord, wanted to test Haridas Thakur. And she manifested herself as the most beautiful woman in all creation. One little spark of opulence, of beauty, that Maya Devi puts on somebody can intoxicate and infatuate a person's mind. Here she was with her full-fledged potency manifesting all of her powers in the form of feminine beauty. before Adidas.
She approached his cave right at the time of sunset. He was all alone. The moon was rising. The stars were glistening, reflecting off the beautiful surface of Mother Ganga. And Maya Devi, when she comes, she doesn't come in an ordinary way. First, she sent the most fragrant, intoxicating fragrances of sweet flowers, carried by a most pleasing, pleasing breeze. She just filled the entire forest area with amorous paraphernalia to entice lust. And then she appeared personally. As she, with folded hands, pleaded with Haridas to satisfy her passionate desires. Haridas said, "Yes, I will fulfill your desires, but I have not finished my rounds yet." The special thing about Haridas is he never finished his rounds. That was just the quota. But then whatever time in the day was left, he went beyond the quota. Kirtaniya Sadahari, one who has this humility, is constantly chanting the holy names. Just like Prabhupada said, 16 rounds minimum. For Haridas Thakur, 192 rounds minimum. No maximum, Prabhupada would say. This was his chanting. So she came back for 3 consecutive nights. And the movements of her body and the postures that she was exhibiting that no living being within the creation could have possibly tolerated. But Haridas Thakur just carried on chanting Harinam, absolutely undisturbed. Why? Param drishtva nivartate. He was experiencing the higher taste. And what is that higher taste? Nam namakari bahuta nija sarva shaktis. All the Lord's beauty, all the Lord's opulences, all the Lord's abode, the Lord's form, the Lord's pastimes are all manifested in the holy name to one who chants offenselessly, with a pure heart. So ultimately, Maya Devi fell at Haridas Thakur's lotus feet and begged. She said, "Previously, Lord Shiva had initiated me in the name of Ram, but now I want to take initiation from you. Be my spiritual master and initiate me in the holy names of Lord Krishna." Haridas Thakur, so humble, as a service to the Lord, as an act of compassion, he initiated Maya Devi. And she became his obedient servant. Hare Krishna. This is a drop of the glories from the ocean of Haridas Thakur. When he wasn't in his cave in Fulia, he would be going along the bank of the Ganges and going through villages, just chanting and dancing ecstatically, showing manifestations of love and separation from Krishna. Tears were always in his eyes, his hairs were standing on end, his limbs were trembling, sometimes his voice would become choked up. All these transformations of ashtasattvika bhava were manifesting on his body. And he was so humble, servant of every living being. This is the nature of a real Vaishnava. that they consider themselves to be the servant of every living being. Wherever he would go, he would enlighten people in the glories of the chanting of the holy names. One time there was an assembly of Brahmins, and they approached Haridas because they really just couldn't tolerate an outcast getting so much popularity. And they said, "Why are you chanting so loudly? Don't you know that this loud chanting will disturb Vishnu? You don't think he can hear you if you chant silently in your heart? According to the Vedas, mantras should be chanted silently so no one hears you. Why are you chanting so loudly? You are disgracing our entire Vedic culture. By your loud chanting, you are destroying the power of the holy name by making it available and heard by others, even those who are unfit. The mantras should be chanted completely private, silently, within the heart. Otherwise, they lose their potency." Haridas Thakur, he quoted from the scriptures. He quoted from scripture that the loud chanting of the holy names is 100 times more powerful than silent chanting. Hare Krishna. So many verses he quoted in this way. And when they were totally defeated, these very arrogant Brahmins, after being defeated by scripture, they couldn't say anything. All they could do is blaspheming. Just see. Now we know that Kali Yuga really has full-fledged come in effect. That a despicable, low-born, untouchable outcast is now instructing a Brahmin. Huh? And they walked away. Haridas Thakur just went on chanting Hare Krishna. Soon the Kajis and the Brahmins, Samartha Brahmins, approached the king, the governor of the province, and reported the Brahmins were saying that he's destroying our religion. He's a man of another religion. What is he doing? He has no qualification to chant the names of Krishna. And he's duping people. People are becoming his followers. And the Qazis saying, "We are from the great Islamic faith. And he's taking so many people, inspiring so many Muslims to chant the name of Krishna. He's destroying our religion. He must be punished. He must be killed." So the governor ordered his arrest. Haridas came to the prison. And all the prisoners, they were all pious people. They were all pious people who were imprisoned because they were caught openly practicing their own religion. Because the Hindu religion, to be practiced openly, was illegal. It was banned under the Mughal Empire. So they were being tortured in prison, these poor people. But they were thinking, Haridas is such a great personality. If we see him, we will get great benediction. So they begged the jail keepers, "Let us just see him, let us just see him." And when Haridas walked by them, they were all looking at him, crying, tears in their eyes, just totally absorbed in remembering Krishna with folded hands. They begged Haridas for benediction, and he smiled and said, "I give you this benediction. May you always remain as you are." They didn't understand. They wanted to get out of prison. Does that mean we have to always remain prisoners? Haridas Thakur saw that they didn't look very happy with his benediction. So with a smile on his face, he said, "Dear brothers, you do not understand. I have given you a good benediction. Right now, you're totally absorbed in Krishna. You're absorbed in seeing a devotee of Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna, remembering Krishna. This is the perfection of life. You should always remain in this state." In a few days, you're going to be released from prison. Do not worry. But when you get out of prison, don't let Maya bewilder you. Don't associate with materialistic people who will usurp the precious bhakti that is in your heart and divert you again to sense gratification. Associate with saintly people. Associate with devotees. And in that association, hear about Krishna, speak about Krishna, chant the names of Krishna. Sense gratification is the allurement of Maya to take our minds away from Krishna and make us suffer. You are eternal souls, part and parcel of Krishna. Be happy. Associate with one another. Clap your hands, dance, and chant the holy name. Then Haridas was brought in before the governor and the Qazi. When the governor saw the beauty of Haridas Thakur, very beautiful. He was just emanating compassion and love. His heart became very soft, and he stood up to receive him in a very respectable way. He said, "My dear sir, you have taken birth in the most fortunate family, in the great supreme religion of Islam. Why? Why have you degraded yourself to following the so-called religious activities of the infidels?" Practice your own religion. It is great. And you will be rewarded. Thakur Haridas laughed very loud and said, "Aha! Just see the power of Maya, the illusory energy." And Haridas Thakur spoke the perfect sermon of interfaith. In fact, once I was in an interfaith conference, and I simply recited these beautiful words of Haridas Thakur, and people came up to me and said, "That was the most incredible, precise, and eloquent interfaith dissertation we have ever heard." The person who said that's name is Sky Bear. So Haridas Thakur said to the Qazi and to the governor, he said, "There is only one God, and that God is all-pervading, imperishable, eternal, and all-merciful. He is the supreme controller of all controllers. He is the one supreme father of all living entities, and that one God has many names. And he is worshipped in different ways, in different religions. The Vedas call him Hari, Rama, or Krishna. In the Islamic scripture, he is known as Allah. But he is the one same supreme God, the source of everything, and everyone's ultimate object of love. And according to one's disposition of heart, the Lord attracts a person in different ways. Myself, my heart, is irresistibly attracted to the form and the name of Krishna. And there's nothing that can change that. That is my nature. That is how the one Supreme Lord, your Lord, is attracting me." He spoke very nicely. The Qazi said, "He's misleading so many people. He must be punished." Haridas was told, "If you just practice your own religious system, we will respect you, honor you, and let you free."
But if you continue on the path you are, we're going to have to punish you.
Haridas Thakur said that if you like, you can do as you like. You are the king, I am your subject. You may cut my body into thousands of pieces, but under no circumstance will there ever be a moment when my lips are not emitting the holy names of Krishna.
You may do anything you like, but my suggestion is this. If a Hindu was chanting the name of Allah, you should give me the same punishment that you would give him. Now you do anything you like with me. Oh, they were outraged. The governor said to Qazi, what do you want me to do with this animal? And Qazi said, beat him. Beat him through all the 22 marketplaces of Fuliagram. And if he survives that beating, then we will know he is actually a saintly person. So they called the executioners and said, kill him. They dragged him by the hair, threw him in the ground, and beat him with sticks and whips and sticks and whips, and beat him and beat him and insulted him and blasphemed him and kicked him. And the common people, they could not tolerate seeing such a humble, gentle, pure-hearted soul being treated this way. People were trying to stop the executioners, but they were just thrown aside. People were begging that, you know, beat me, but not him. They were just thrown aside. People were praying, what has he done? What is his fault? He's never harmed anyone. He's completely self-satisfied, compassionate friend of everyone. What has he done to deserve this? Please stop. But they just beat him and beat him. People were praying to Krishna, please save him. Please save him. Other people were praying to Allah, please save him. He's a saint. He should not be hit like this. Our whole village will be destroyed by this offense to a saintly person.
Haridas Thakur, through all 22 marketplaces of being beaten throughout the whole day, never stopped chanting Hare Krishna. Finally, the executioners were so exhausted they could no longer even lift their arms to beat him. They spoke in great amazement and fear. They said, Haridas, we don't understand. There has never been a man who has lived beyond two or three marketplaces of being beaten. We've beaten you throughout the entire day, through all 22 marketplaces, and you still look very fresh and full of health. Not only that, as we're beating you with all cruelty, you're looking at us with such compassion as if we're the ones that are suffering. And through it all, you never for a moment stopped chanting the holy name. We have been ordered to kill you because you are still living. Now, by the Qazi's will, the governor is going to kill us. Thakur Haridas, with great respect, he replied, if my being alive is a disturbance to you, please see what I will do. Then Haridas sat down, closed his eyes, and all life symptoms disappeared from his body. They tested him. He was dead by all analysis. They wanted to pick up his body, but his body was so heavy it couldn't be lifted. Then his body became light. And they brought the apparent dead corpse of Haridas Thakur and threw it down on the ground at the doorstep of the governor, where the Qazi was present. He's dead. He has received the punishment he deserves. Now bury him. Qazi said, no, he should not be buried. He does not deserve to be buried. If he gets buried, he may go to paradise. He should not be. He has rejected his own religion. He should not be buried. He should not be buried in such a respectable way. Throw him in the Ganges like a piece of garbage, and then his soul will find no resting place for all eternity. So they threw his body in the Ganges like a piece of rubbish. And Haridas Thakur, his body was sometimes under the water, and sometimes it floated above the water, and then under, and then over, and under, and over. And after it went downstream for some time, he raised from the dead. He has arisen. Haridas Thakur came out of his Mahasamadhi and came, pushed himself onto the bank, and then started walking right back to Fulia. Now, most people, after going through all of that, would have gone the other direction. But he just started walking right back to the village. In fact, he came right back into the village of Fulia. And there the people saw him, and the executioner saw him. And then the news came, and the governor and the Qazi came. Unbelievable. They all fell at his feet. And they all proclaimed, even the Qazi and the governor proclaimed, now we understand that you really are a saintly person. You truly are close to God. Therefore, you can chant and do anything you like, and we will not disturb you anymore. Hari Roh and Haridas Thakur just smiled and forgave them. And then after that incredible experience, where his own offenders fell at his feet and begged forgiveness from him, and he forgave them, he went to an assembly of devotees. And those devotees asked Haridas, why did you have to be beaten the way you did? And Haridas Thakur, he said, actually, because I heard Krishna and his name blasphemed, I deserve so much more than this. Because I sat and patiently listened to the blasphemy of Krishna, his devotees, and his name, I deserve so much more than this. But by Krishna's love and mercy, he only gave me a tiny little bit of a reaction just to purify my heart of the offense I had committed. This is the humility of Haridas Thakur. On the full moon night of the month of Palgun in Sri Navadvip Dham, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. When he appeared, Haridas Thakur and Advaitacharya were in Shantipur, and they could feel such ecstasy in their hearts. They were dancing and singing wild. They just abandoned all composure, and nobody could understand why they were so intoxicated with divine love. Because they're the eternal object of their love, Lord Krishna, had descended into this world. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from Gaya and established the Sankirtan movement on the order of his guru, Ishwarapuri, he began to perform kirtan in the house of Srivas. Also in his own house and that of Chandrasekharacharya. The first public kirtan he performed was to the house of Chankasi. And Haridas Thakur was one of the lead dancers of that kirtan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did something that was so amazing. One morning he called Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur and told them, "My dear brothers, please hear from me. Go into the town, whoever you meet, give them this message. Chant the holy names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Follow Krishna's teachings. Krishna's your mother. Krishna's your father. Krishna's your true wealth. Krishna's the very treasure of your life and soul. Take the name of Krishna. Do not consider who is unfit or fit to receive this message. Inundate all of Navadvip. Go to the bathing ghats, go to the homes, go to the marketplaces and induce everyone to chant the names of Krishna. This is the only thing you should speak to them. Just worship Krishna. Take the name of Krishna." So they went out, wild with enthusiasm, Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu. They were falling at people's feet, begging them, "Take the name of Krishna," weeping in compassion. There is no pain that hurts the heart of a devotee more than seeing a person forgetful of Krishna, trying to falsely enjoy the mirages of this world, like the deer in the desert. It was not just a ritual. They were not going out just to get some scores. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had empowered their heart with such deep compassion that if they did not meet a person and not transform that person's heart into a lover of Krishna, it was painful for them. They would do anything and everything. They would bow down to the people. They would beg the people. "This is the only alms we beg. Just take the name of Krishna." Sometimes they would roll in the dust at the feet of the people, sometimes putting straw between their teeth. "We are your servant. Please accept the name of Krishna." This was Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu. Day and day and day, all day long, they would do like this. And every evening, they would return to Lord Chaitanya and give him full reports of their activities. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so very pleased. Dinahina yata chilo harinamu darila taro shakshi jagai madhai. And then on one day they saw the two most sinful, violent, abusive drunkards, Jagai and Madhai. And by Nityananda Prabhu's compassion, he and Haridas Thakur approached Jagai and Madhai, or all the people around. They said, "Don't go near him. You don't know who these people are. They are rapists. They are murderers. They burn people's houses. They steal. They kill cows and eat their meat and drink their blood. They drink wine constantly. Everyone fears them. Don't go near them." But Nityananda and Haridas just walked right up to them and gave them that message. Chant Krishna's names. Worship Krishna. Follow Krishna's teachings. Krishna's your life and soul. Jagai and Madhai tried to kill them. They ran away. It's a beautiful story. But in the end, by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, Jagai and Madhai became Trinadapi Sunichena. They became humble, tolerant, respectful, pure-hearted devotees, constantly chanting
Krishna.
Louder, please. During Mahaprakash Lila, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fulfilling all his devotees' innermost desires. It was a rare occasion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent an entire day sitting on the throne of Vishnu, accepting the worship of his devotees and reciprocating with their love by showing them exactly the form that they loved within the core of their heart. He called Murari Gupta, Gangadas Pandit, Srivas Thakur, Advaitacharya, and then he invited Haridas Thakur to come forward. This is wonderful. Thakur Haridas, when he came before Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his divine opulences by showing the form of Krishna to Haridas. Haridas Thakur fainted, but Mahaprabhu brought him back to consciousness. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to praise Haridas Thakur. He said, "Do you remember, Haridas? Do you remember when you were being beaten by those villains through 22 marketplaces? I cannot tolerate seeing this injustice to my devotee. From Vaikuntha, I called upon my Sudarshan Chakra to sever the heads of those demons. But you were praying from the core of your heart for me to forgive them. You were praying that I give them bhakti. You were praying, whatever I have done to serve you, my Lord, take all those credits, but please give your mercy to these people. Do not harm them. Your forgiveness was so sincere and so deep that my chakra had no power to act. But I could not tolerate seeing them beating you. So just to save your life, I incarnated in an invisible form and I laid on top of your back and took all those brutal whippings myself." And Mahaprabhu opened his cloth and showed Haridas Thakur and all the devotees his own beautiful golden form with the scars of the beatings that were meant for Haridas Thakur. Thakur Haridas fainted in ecstasy. The mercy of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Thakur Haridas that you ask for any benediction you like and I will give you. Thakur Haridas said, "I am seeing you. There is no benediction greater than this." Lord Chaitanya said, "Ask something. It will please me if you ask for any benediction." Haridas Thakur said, "I am most fallen and condemned. I do not deserve anything. But if you insist, my Lord, then give me this one benediction. In any situation I may be in every birth I may take in this world, allow me to receive the remnants that are left on the plates of your devotees after they have eaten. Let that maha prasad be the wealth of my life. Give me this benediction, even if I am a dog or an insect. Let it be near the home of your devotee, so I will get the remnants of their food to eat. Just see how impudent I am. I am asking for something so great. I am an imitationist. I am too much addicted to wanting to be respected and honored. I'm not really a devotee at all. I have no right to ask for something so elevated as this. But if you are merciful to me, my Lord, by your causeless kindness, please let me be always the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, and all the assembled devotees, they roared, Hari Bol! Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Hari Das, I grant you this benediction. You will wear it. You will always be in the association of my devotees. And not only that, but you will give such joy and happiness to the association of devotees. And I give you this benediction, Hari Das, that whoever sees you, whoever hears your chanting of the holy names, whoever even hears about you, will get the favor of Krishna and eventually get Krishna praying. The devotees rejoiced to see Thakur Haridas's good fortune. For the purpose of reaching people that were very difficult, Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas and made his home in Jagannath Puri by the request of his mother and the devotees. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's South Indian tour, when he returned to Puri, the devotees of Navadvip, Shantipur, and the Bengali province, with great anticipation and separation for several years, they went on a pilgrimage to see the Lord in Purushottam Kshetra. The Lord had Swarup Damodar Goswami and Govinda greet all the Vaishnavas as they crossed the border of Puri at the bridge called Ataranala. They offered garlands and sandalwood and obeisances and Jagannath's prasad, and then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came out to greet them, and they all came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's residence, Gambira, where the Lord was individually, personally showing his love for each of his devotees. It was such a loving exchange. The Lord asked, where is Haridas? The devotee said, there he is. Haridas Thakur was laying in the dust on the roadside offering prayers. Lord Chaitanya said, bring him here, bring him here. The devotees came out. One of the devotees ran out with the message, Lord Chaitanya is calling you. He wants to embrace you. He wants to speak to you. Haridas, with a very humble voice, he said, I am not qualified. I do not deserve to come so close to the Lord. I will offer my obeisances from here. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met all the devotees, Lord Chaitanya personally arranged residential quarters for each devotee and arranged all the commodities of necessities for 300 Vaishnavas. And when everybody was dispatched to their particular residences, Lord Chaitanya personally came out, walked down the road where Haridas was still laying in full prostration. And Lord Chaitanya, seeing Haridas's mood, understood that Haridas would never even attempt to go into Jagannath's temple because he considered himself unqualified. So the Lord himself personally made arrangements to give a secluded little garden to Haridas Thakur, very close to the temple. where Haridas Thakur, while he was doing his bhajan of chanting the holy names, could always be seeing the darshan of the chakra on top of the dome of Lord Jagannath Mandir. Haridas Thakur graciously accepted that place and remained in Puri for the rest of his life, chanting at least 300,000 names every day. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was Lord Jagannath himself, every single day in the early morning would go with his devotees for the darshan of Jagannath. And every single day, the first thing he would do when departing the temple after hours and hours of chanting and dancing, the Lord would personally, with his own hands, bring the Mahaprasad of Jagannath to Haridas Thakur and spend quality time discussing Krishna Katha with Haridas. Srila Prabhupada explained, Haridas Thakur was so humble, he would not go in to see the Lord. So the Lord was so much intensely feeling separation from Haridas that the Lord would come out of the temple each and every day to see his devotee. Thakur Haridas would sit under the sun chanting. One day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out. He would bring all sorts of Mahaprasad to Thakur Haridas. One day he brought a toothpick made out of a neem stick. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pushed that toothpick in the ground. And by his mystical powers, the toothpick became a tree and grew immediately. Not like we grow trees. Within a matter of minutes, it was a full-grown tree. It was a buckwheat tree. Thakur Haridas would sit and chant his 3 lakhs of Krishna's names under that buckwheat tree every day, and even today that tree is there to glorify Haridas Thakur, Siddha Bakula. He had a little kutir made out of straw near that buckwheat tree. When Rupa Goswami came to Jagannath Puri, he shared that kutir. He stayed in the little garden of Haridas Thakur. When Srila Sanatan Goswami came to Puri, he resided with Haridas Thakur. They were his dear friends. Such intimate relationships. In fact, when Rupa and Sanatan first came to Ramkeli to meet Lord Chaitanya, it was Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur that arranged their meeting with the Lord. So wonderful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every year in Jagannath Rath Yatra, he had Haridas Thakur, one of the lead dancers of the 7 parties he arranged. Specifically in the party where Mukunda Dutt was the singer and Haridas Thakur danced. There are unlimited, beautiful, loving exchanges between Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur in Sri Puri Dham. But we will conclude our class today with one final story, which is revealed by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Antya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. At this time, Haridas Thakur was very old in age. One day, Govinda, the personal servant of Lord Chaitanya, jubilantly came to Haridas Thakur's kutir to deliver him Jagannath's Mahaprasad. He happened to see Haridas laying down, chanting the holy names of Krishna very slowly. Govinda said, "Rise, Haridas, rise
and honor the Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath.
Haridas Thakur, in a soft, humble voice, replied, "Today I shall fast, because I have not completed my regulated number of rounds of the holy names. Therefore, I cannot eat. I have not completed my rounds. I cannot eat. But Mahaprasad has come to me. I cannot neglect Mahaprasad." Srila Prabhupada, in this regard, explains how Mahaprasad is none different than Krishna. Prasad means the favor of Krishna. A real devotee does not eat prasad. A devotee honors prasad. It is never to be considered ordinary food. It is Krishna's mercy upon us. Krishna is so kind. He knows that we need to eat. And he knows that the nature of the tongue is it wants to taste nice tastes. So Krishna appears in the form of nice tastes so that we can be satisfied and simultaneously purified by his mercy. So Haridas Thakur, he bowed down to the prasad with folded hands and offered prayers to the prasad and then took a small little morsel and ate it just to honor it. Govinda told Lord Chaitanya what he has seen. The next day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after leaving Jagannath's temple, he came to the kutir of Thakur Haridas. Lord Chaitanya said, "Haridas, are you well?" Haridas Thakur replied, "My body is all right, but my mind and intelligence are not well." Lord Chaitanya asked, "Haridas, can you ascertain what is the cause of your disease?" Haridas Thakur replied, "I am unable to complete my rounds." Lord Chaitanya, with great emotion, he said, "Haridas, you are very old. There's no need for you to chant so many rounds every day. You are already a completely liberated person. There is no need for you to follow such strict regulative principles. You have incarnated in this earth for the ultimate welfare of the people in general. You have already extolled the glories of the holy name in this world. Your mission is complete. There's no need for you to chant so many rounds. Now please reduce the amount of rounds you chant every day." Haridas Thakur folded his palms with all sincerity and appealed to the Lord. "My dear Lord, kindly hear my plea. I was born in an inferior family, and my body is most abominable. I am always engaged in low works. Therefore, I am the lowest and most condemned of men. I am unseeable and untouchable. But you have accepted me as your servant. Out of your causeless mercy, you have accepted me as your servant. And in doing so, you have delivered me from a hellish condition and raised me to the platform of Vaikuntha. My dear Lord, You are independent. And you could and you act according to your own free will. My dear Lord, you make the entire world dance according to your desire. And you have even made me dance in so many ways. For example, the Shraddhapatra, by your mercy, the Shraddhapatra, which was meant for the most highly qualified Brahmin, was offered to me, although I'm born in a family of meat eaters. My Lord, there is a desire in my heart for a very long time. I beg you, please, to fulfill this desire. I think that quite soon you will close your pastimes in this material world. My dear Lord, I wish that you not show me this closing chapter of your pastimes. Before that time comes, let my body fall down in your all-merciful divine presence. Allow me to clasp your lotus feet upon my heart. Allow my eyes to see your beautiful moon-like face. And I shall chant your holy names, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, again and again and again. And let my body fall before you in this way. My Lord, you are supremely independent. You can do anything according to your desire. I beg you, if it is possible, please allow me to give up my life in this way. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very emotional. He said, Haridas, whatever you desire, Krishna, who is all merciful, must fulfill your desire. But what about me, Haridas? What about me? Whatever happiness I have in my life is only due to your association. Why do you want to leave me behind? Haridas Thakur, trembling in humility, replied, My Lord, please, please do not create an illusion. I am insignificant. There are millions and millions of respectable persons. There are millions of devotees who are fit to sit on top of my head. They are actually useful in helping with your pastimes. If an insignificant insect like me dies, what is the loss to the world? If an insignificant ant dies, what is the loss to this world? My dear Lord, please fulfill this one desire of my heart. It is my great aspiration. Let my body fall down
in your presence.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Haridas Thakur and departed to perform his noon duties. The next day in the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gathered all of his devotees. Together, they came to the house of Haridas. When Lord Chaitanya arrived, Haridas Thakur offered his obeisances with great affection to all the devotees. Lord Chaitanya said, "Haridas, what is the news?" Haridas Thakur replied, "Whatever mercy you bestow upon me, my Lord." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then began Nam Sankirtan. All the devotees gathered around Haridas Thakur, headed by Swarup Damodar Goswami, loudly chanting the holy name. Vakreshwar Pandit was dancing jubilantly. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to glorify the qualities of Haridas Thakur with such enthusiasm it appeared that he had five mouths. And as he was tasting the sweetness of the glories of Haridas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's happiness was ever increasing. Haridas Thakur then made Lord Chaitanya sit down. He took Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, pressed them to his heart. His eyes were like two bumblebees drinking the sweet beauty of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus face. Then Haridas Thakur, with great love and respect, took the dust of the feet of every single Vaishnava and put it on his head. And as he gazed upon Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's face, he continuously chanted, "Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya." Tears of ecstatic love were pouring from his eyes, as ecstatic symptoms manifest on his body. And in that most auspicious state, Haridas Thakur gave up his life. There was a great roar amongst the devotees as they all witnessed and remembered the glorious passing of Bhishma on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when he gave up his life by his own sweet will. Seeing the passing of Haridas, the kirtan rose to tumultuous level. And Haridas Thakur, laying down there on the ground, induced such ecstatic love from the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Lord Chaitanya lifted the body of Haridas, placed on his lap, in his arms, and danced. Dancing and dancing in the courtyard, carrying the body of Haridas in his arms. As Vakreshwar Pandit danced, Swarup Damodar Goswami and all the devotees loudly chanted the holy name. Mahaprabhu was dancing and dancing and dancing. He could not let go of this beloved form of Haridas Thakur. He was in ecstasy, weeping, crying, jubilantly, dancing. Finally, Swarup Damodar Goswami informed Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that now we must perform the last rites. they placed Haridas Thakur's body on a palanquin that was shaped like an airship and had procession to the sea. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally led this procession in honor of Haridas Thakur as he was singing and dancing, and Vakreshwar Pandit right behind was dancing ecstatically as all the devotees were chanting. When they reached the sea, with his own loving hands, Lord Chaitanya bathed the body of Haridas Thakur and proclaimed to everyone, from this day on, the sea has become a holy place because it has touched the body of the great devotee, Haridas Thakur. It has become a holy place of pilgrimage. Then the devotees, they were drinking the seawater that had washed the feet of Haridas Thakur with great ecstasy and gratitude. After thoroughly bathing the body of Thakur Haridas, they took the sandalwood pulp of Lord Jagannath and rubbed his body and his limbs. They had garlands and other forms of cloth and mahaprasad and put it on his body. Then lowered his body into a hole that was dug in the sand. Offering more mahaprasad in a very prayerful mood, Lord Chaitanya with his own divine hand began to bury the body of Haridas with sand. And the devotees assisted the Lord. Then they circumambulated the body, all along loudly chanting the holy names. After the body of Haridas was buried, they made a little raised platform as a temporary arrangement to honor this as Haridas Thakur's Samadhi Mandir. Then Lord Chaitanya and all of his devotees jubilantly bathed within the sea and came out and circumambulated many times the Samadhi Mandir of Haridas Thakur to show their honor to this great devotee. Lord Chaitanya then led all the devotees to the town of Puri, and in front of the Singhadwaram, Mahaprabhu went to the shopkeepers and put out his cloth as a beggar, proclaiming, "Please give me alms. I want to beg in order to arrange a feast in honor of Haridas Thakur." This is the love of the Lord for his devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the supreme proprietor, controller, and master of all living beings, is taking the humble role of a beggar to the most common merchants. He's begging to glorify his devotee. The merchants were so thrilled to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this mood that they were just bringing big, big baskets of mahaprasad. Swarup Damodar Goswami convinced Lord Chaitanya to go to his residence for the time being. He said, "Myself and my men, we will arrange this feast." He told all the shopkeepers, "Bring back your baskets and just bring 4 handfuls of each preparation from each basket and bring it here." And there were so many people who were so enthusiastic to honor Haridas Thakur that there was huge feast that was supplied. Kashi Mishra, he had invited Lord Chaitanya for prasad that day, so he and others brought large quantities of prasad also. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when everyone was sitting in the aisles and lines, he personally came and with his own hands was serving prasad to the devotees. But Lord Chaitanya was not accustomed to eating small amounts. He was so generous, with so much enthusiasm to serve the devotees. He was putting on the plates of the devotees at a time what no less than 5 men could eat. Swarup Damodar Goswami appealed to the Lord, "No one will honor prasad until you begin to take prasad. So please sit down and I will arrange the serving." Swarup Damodar Goswami, Kashishwar Pandit, Jagadananda and Shankar Pandit were the main servers. And they were serving the prasad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat with Brahmananda Puri and Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Paramananda Puri. And as soon as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to eat, he ordered everyone to begin honoring prasad. And as they were prasading, as they were taking prasad, Lord Chaitanya kept calling out, "Give them more! Give them more! Give them more!" And the servers were running around giving everyone more and more and more and more prasad. And after this incredible, extraordinary feast, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed his hands. Then he personally gave everyone that participated in this feast, he gave them with his own hands a garland and decorated their limbs with sandalwood. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proclaimed a benediction to everyone. He said, "Anyone who has participated in this celebration of the passing of Haridas Thakur, anyone who has chanted the holy name during the procession, anyone who helped to bathe his body or cover his body with sand, anyone who has come to partake of this prasad, this feast in honor of Haridas Thakur, anyone who is in any way, shape or form participated in this festival will very soon gain the favor of Lord Krishna. This is the power of seeing Haridas Thakur." Then Lord Chaitanya, in great emotion, said, "By Lord Krishna's mercy, he has given me the association of Haridas Thakur. But now by his independent will, he has broken that association." When Haridas Thakur decided to leave this world, it was not within my power to stop him. In the same glory as Bhishma, he departed from this world by his own sweet will. Srila Haridas Thakur was the crown jewel of this entire world. And now the world has lost its most valuable jewel. Everyone, very loudly, chant, "Jai, Jai, Haridas!
Jai, Jai, Haridas!
Jai, Jai, Haridas!
And chant the holy names of Krishna. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his residence, feeling a mixture of joy and sorrow of separation from this great devotee. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami concludes this narration by revealing the love of Lord Chaitanya for his devotees. There is no greater truth than the Lord's love for his devotees. Thakur Haridas, an outcast by social convention, was so dearly loved by the Lord. The Lord fulfilled his desire. The Lord danced with his body. The Lord bathed his body in the sea. The Lord covered his body with the sand from his own hands. The Lord begged for the feast, and then the Lord glorified Haridas Thakur for the whole world to understand the glories of a Vaishnav. Haridas Thakur is Namacharya. It is the qualities that he personified that are so dear to the heart of Krishna. If we want to chant the holy names of the Lord and actually taste the sweetness of Krishna, we must follow in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur. We must carefully understand and assimilate the qualities of Haridas Thakur. Because Thakur Haridas was always serving with such humility, always chanting the holy names, always feeling such compassion and forgiveness for all living beings. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was purchased by his love. On one occasion, Lord Chaitanya said to Haridas Thakur, "I am a prisoner in your heart. You have conquered me. I cannot go anywhere else. I am a prisoner in your heart. I am a prisoner of your love." Yes, the story of Haridas Thakur is the story of Vaishnavism. The love of the devotee for the Lord and the love of the Supreme Lord for his devotee. Bhaktivinod Thakur, many years later, wrote a poem and had it enshrined on Haridas Thakur's samadhi. "He reasons ill that say that Vaishnavas die. When thou art living still in sound, Vaishnavas die to live and live to spread the holy name around." His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada is a supreme personification of that sacred truth. Following in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur, Srila Prabhupada took all risks, all inconveniences, with complete faith in the order of his Guru and the holy name of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada did not even hesitate to give Harinam and even Brahminical initiation and sannyas to people born in families of Malechas and Yavanas.
Many people theoretically speak these verses from the scriptures about the power of the holy name. But very few people believe in it serious enough to actually give outcasts, malechas, and yavanas the encouragement, the respect, and the opportunity to worship the deities, to perform yajnas. Who else? But Srila Prabhupada did not only have the intellectual, theoretical understanding of the scriptures, but he had total faith in the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and the power of the holy name of Krishna. And thus, he did not, nobody else had ever dared to do. On the order of his Guru Maharaj, he initiated thousands of people all over the world, established temples, deity worship, and thus founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada explains in one beautiful purport that the activities of the Krishna Consciousness Movement is simply meant for hearing about Krishna, serving Krishna, and chanting the holy names of Krishna. Yes, in Srila Prabhupada's love, we are given entrance to really understand the love of Lord Chaitanya for his devotees. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananti Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
in honor of Thakur Haridas, for his pleasure, as he would like us to chant, let us very enthusiastically one more time call out the Maha Mantra. I thank you very much.